The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on this, the Frank Sontag Show. It is a Monday, and we are live in studio, and I do pray you and yours are well, and that you were blessed this weekend. I want to share some thoughts as I begin this hour, and before I say anything, I would like to pray. I just feel like I have a lot I want to say, and above all, I want to be careful to not get in front of the Lord. And so if you would like to join in prayer with me or just passively listen, whatever you would like to do, I hope that you do stay listening. Father God, I come to you in this moment of personal struggle. But also, I think that for many of us, it's a collective struggle. We know this is the day that you've made, and we are to rejoice in it. And I know sometimes our struggles are self-inflicted for ways that we may be even intentionally conscious of in the way of sin, and maybe sometimes it's just things that we do in life we're not really fully aware of. But Lord, just forgive us, please. Forgive me as I begin this broadcast. Lord, I pray that these are your words, not mine. Please use me for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. So what do I want to share with you? After a prayer like that, I want to be quiet. Okay, Lord, start talking. I'll listen. Oh, my goodness gracious. My head's going to explode. I get all these emails, and I am not in any way, shape, or form devaluing them or minimizing them, but all of these emails about specifics of voter fraud. And if I could be honest, I think there was. One man that I look up to a great deal, I'll read his email in a little bit on the same topic. But so say there was, and many of us are outraged, and we're going to, I even had a friend, and it was ironic. I was watching a pastor yesterday. I watched two of his sermons back to back. And he said, paraphrasing, he got an email, it's time to get the guns. I got one of those too. And I'm like, no, it's not. Now, if you want to go to war, I think this is a good time, but it's time to know the weapons at your disposal. And prayer is of the most tantamount way in which we can fight. But let me not get too far ahead here. So we have the situation going on right now in our country where, oh Lord, whatever medium we go to, there's a lot of different scenarios that are being played out and shared. Now, this first part is for me, and then I'll share what I believe God's put on my heart for all of us. First part for me, I will not watch the media. I will not. I will protect my mind and my heart. There's nothing new to be learned here by logging into Twitter or checking the latest or turning on the boob tube. You're not going to hear anything other than what we already know. The media has elected this next president, and he made his acceptance speech, and it's move forward, right? And then those are some of us that say, not so fast. We have a constitution. We have a process in this country. And obviously, the current president is going to do what he can to address what he believes are fraudulent realities that have happened all across the country. But what about those of us that profess faith in Christ? I had a conversation with a dear brother today on the way to work that I just reached out to. I was desperate. I actually believe the Lord told me to call him, and praise God he picked up. And I kind of shared my heart and my struggle, and he listened like he always does. And then he said these words that I will share with you, because I believe it is a word. I absolutely believe it's a word from God for all of us that profess faith in Christ. That above all, in this day that we call today, what we are called to do as followers of Jesus, above all, is to be obedient to Him. Obedient to Him. Now, personally speaking, I can intellectually go, yeah, I agree. But sometimes, you know, things get in the way of that, to be completely obedient. Last couple months, I've gotten email after email because I have chosen intentionally and intently to talk about the upcoming election, which was last Tuesday. I think I would have been irresponsible not to. I am a man that identifies myself as a follower of Jesus, not a Christian, necessarily. And here's the area I want to get into. And if this upsets you, let me know. I hope we can have a conversation. But this is where I'm really convicted. And this is me. 4 years ago when I voted, and I've said this story on the air before, I was not sure how I was going to vote. And I kind of watched I don't think the word is illogical unfolding of what transpired. Let's just say many people didn't have any inclination that after all was said and done, Donald Trump would be the, at least on the GOP side, he would be the presidential candidate. And I'm on the air back then, and I'm not talking much about it, and a little bit here and there, but I watched the debates when we had real debates, and it was either the second or the last one. They were asked a question about abortion, then Donald Trump and then Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton fell all over herself to state her views that are pretty pronounced on the left, and that is a woman's right to choose, reproductive rights, and women's health, and you know all that rhetoric, right? Oh, boy. Lord's really convicting me. Look, I want you to understand that the only reason I'm here with all of my flaws and all of my propensity to naturally sin, like we all have. The Bible's clear on that. Our hearts are depraved. Sorry, you non-believers. Oh, why would I want to be a Christian if I'm a bad person? You know, look, I was a New Age teacher for 21 years till I was 54. I know what you're saying. But when you have an encounter with the risen Savior, like I did, you still have your free will. Now, depending on your doctrinal inclinations, you may agree or not agree with that. But for me, in my free will, I said yes, and I became a follower of Jesus. And here we are, Lord willing, if I make it one more month, it will be 11 years. But here's the point. Most of my adult life, and some of you listen to my old program, I would have conversations about, this is the way it would go. Somebody would call in, maybe of the perspective of being a Christian, and they would call me and want to talk about abortion. And here's what came out of my mouth. I'm a man. And it would be another man. It's kind of ironic that two men are calling up, having a conversation about abortion when it has nothing to do with us. God has not given us the ability to give birth. This is a woman's issue and a right to choose, blah, blah, blah. I would spout these platitudes without thinking twice. And to me, it made all the sense in the world. Please stay with me, please. And when I became a follower of Christ, I was told by a very impressionable pastor that helped lead me to the Lord. He said, you know, get ready. Your sanctification process is going to be gnarly. What sanctification? I just become a follower. He said, Frank, at your age, at 54 and where you come from, God is going to fast track you. And it's not going to all be smiles and warm fuzzies and hearts. He's going to burn a lot of dross out of you. So what am I trying to say here? He began to work in my heart above all. I'm sorry if you disagree. We can disagree respectfully. But above all, what he put on my heart was the realities of abortion. What are we doing? We have these conversations. We're Christian, but it's from the womb to the tomb. Or all these other items that we hold near and dear as if somehow these are as important. And I don't want to necessarily put a quantification on it, but here's where I want to go. How long is the church going to be silent on this? Say what you will about what is to come, and it looks in logic. Well, we don't know. God's the God of possibilities. It would be just like God to, in his will, he can do anything. But say we get a Biden-Harris administration. If you are so unwilling to take a look at the bigger picture of what they stand for, what this ticket stands for when it comes to the issue of abortion, all I can tell you is, for those of us that love the Lord above all, with everything we have, and I'll speak for myself, this is the most important issue. If we can rationalize and justify the taking of an unborn for whatever reasons. Now, I hope I'm okay in saying this. I was watching a live stream sermon yesterday by Pastor Rob McCoy from Godspeak. And he posted a graphic that I could not believe, because I still err on the side of, well, you know, we're going to get it, and we want to love, and you know, most people, they want to do the right thing, and we all want the right things, safe security for our families, and blah, 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 blah. And he posts a graphic. In the state of Colorado, in the most recent elections, they had two propositions, 114 and 115. 114, in essence, was to help preserve the gray wolf, reintroducing certain things were to help grow the population. That was voted down. That was voted in. That was a big thumbs up. Absolutely. I got to calm down. I don't want to get, you know, I just want to be humble and obedient. That's why God's got me here, to tell you we need to love. Yes, we need to love each other, but we need to love him first. And Prop 115, right after 114, gave the Colorado voters a chance to vote to stop later term abortions. I believe it was 22 weeks. It may have even been 24 weeks. I don't have it in front of me. They voted it down. So big thumbs up. Let's preserve the gray wolf. Big thumbs down. We don't want to stop any type of abortions. if you will. Now, I don't know what it's going to take. Satan is such a liar. He is such a liar. And where do we fall into how we profess faith in Jesus and we're Christians? Man, I saw somebody in ministry today. Not going to get too long down the line, but he was really angry at those that may have voted for the current president. Said some things, and I'm like, not so ministerial, but I suspect there's some pain and tumult and trauma under all of that. But here's the bottom line. If the church does not stand for life, and honestly, not this rhetorical womb to the tomb, and if you have that perspective and you want to take me to task, okay, call me. But I mean, if we don't stand on the side of the unborn, and pastors don't preach from the pulpit against such things, woe to us. We cry out to God, please give this president another 4 years. And then what? And this is where I got to be careful. I'm not here to beat anybody up. I think there are, well, people are celebrating and people are upset, right? Very, very little in between. I'd like to suggest God, through his Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would have us kind of be in the in-between. Because pride is a powerful sin. I could sit here and easily spend a good deal of time speaking ill of the reported new president-elect and the way he's lived his life. And I can also spend some time talking about our current president and the way he has shared some things that have been clearly divisive. Good friend of mine sent me this one. I said, please, I need your counsel. He says, either it's voter fraud. It appears that voter counting machine software could be a nationwide Trojan horse in otherwise independent voter counting locations, or it's a referendum on DJT's perceived lack of decency, parentheses, as sold by the media, end parentheses, i.e., when we as a country face the choice of competency versus perceived decency, America desires more so the latter. Not sure yet as to what option is the actual explanation. So here's the last thing I want to say. And I'm talking to myself. I won't even say preaching. This may not sound like I'm preaching. Do not get down. Do not get dark. Do not get hopeless. Repent. Ask God to guide you in this. Be quiet. Spend time with him. This whole weekend, I'll say it was awful. I basically locked myself in the house, quiet. Didn't go out much, just stayed quiet in prayer with my Bible, and it was so painful. Just asking God, show me, God. What are we doing? But I'm clear on two things, three things. I'll save the absolute truth to the end. Number one, we're all sinful. Joe Biden, Donald Trump, whoever is to be in a position of president of this country, sinful. They need the Lord. And we're to pray for them. Number two, Satan is hard at work here. But don't get frustrated. Don't get in a place where you lash out in emotion, even though you may, in a sense, feel like you're entitled to that livelihood, because so many of us are frustrated or feel like we've been lied to and we've had, you know, a big sham pulled over on us. Don't go there. But above all, be obedient to Jesus and his word. He has seen a few of these scenarios before. And yes, we need to love each other. But why is the church so quiet about abortion? What, we don't love the unborn? We just do these things, and it's not all the non-believers that are having abortions. Look, I'm not here to beat yourself up. My best friend, he and his wonderful wife have an abortion recovery ministry called No Longer Bound. Tigra and Mark Little. They've worked with scores of men and women to help them in the recovery of this decision that wounds everybody. But if we as the church don't start speaking out about such a barbaric action, and I say it's akin to worshiping at the satanic altar of Satan himself when we abort our babies, for whatever reasons, if we can't humanize this versus where we're going and what is maybe to come, when you can't have a conversation with somebody that says they are a Christian and somehow they post out they're all excited about the new change and, oh, it's going to be good and he's calling for a time to heal and all this other stuff. Okay, we can believe a bunch of rhetoric. One of my other best friends, just in social media, eviscerated over the weekend because he called out some pastors because they were all excited. Oh, look at the new change and all this. And he just asked them, where do you stand on abortion? Because it's obvious that this administration, track record, where they've been, this is part of the ideology that fuels them. And boy, he just got annihilated. Hate, spreading lies. How do you know that? Babies can't speak. I'll share one last thing. I'll break and come back. We got calls to take, and I just hope you hear the Lord and not me. I've not always been in this position. I said that. I lived in the world. I was fleshly for most of my adult life, did things I don't even need to go into. When I became a new creation in Christ, my past was forgiven. But I also have witnessed a slow change in my heart that is only God when it comes to this issue. And I did have a moment in my life. It was actually on this program when I interviewed a guest that was the absolute solidification of what I suspected was this change in my heart. We had a husband and wife on the program who have a ministry in Long Beach called His Nesting Place. And I didn't know Al very well. He just seemed really loving, he and his wife, and they come in and we're talking on the air and we go to break and he Lord help me. He pulls out a photo in his wallet. And I don't want to get graphic here. But it was a photo of an aborted baby. And I don't remember what he said after that. The photo just annihilated me. And he said something very loving, something like, we have to protect these beautiful babies. And that was it. That was the moment in my life when that moment on, I get it loud and clear. And I've said it on the program. I'll say it again. We as a church, we need to speak against abortion. All this other political ramifications and ideologies and the way in which we rationalize and justify our positions, we need to speak out against abortion. And there are some pastors that do. I'm not saying it's absolutely a the reality of silence in the church, but they're few and far between. And all I know is in my heart of hearts, One day I'm going to stand in front of the King of the Universe, and I'm going to be held accountable. And I've said this on the program more so recently. I'm going to be on my face trembling. Not because I don't think I'm saved, not because I don't believe in Jesus, but because he is the King of the Universe. And how we can callously do things like end the life of a baby in the womb. And I'm not saying in some cases we've really been torn about the decision, and we make the decision and we regret it, and we go on and on in our life regretting it. Don't regret it anymore. Ask God to forgive you and get healing. Find a ministry like No Longer Bound. But here's the point. If we don't humanize this action that we take, this barbaric action that we partake in, instead of just unless we just continue to treat it like it's nothing, it's just a choice. God help us all. Because God is God, and I believe in the God of the Bible. And all of this, please God, you know, 4 more years of Trump, I'll be careful here, but I believe only a fool cannot see the facts of what he's done as it applies to faith and religion. And you can email me, call me like you've been doing, and call me lots of names. You can do that. But Jesus is Lord. And if we're followers of Jesus, we got to stop killing in the name of whatever. Please, Pastor, start preaching and speaking out against this. Or we can keep going to our pulpits and it's like, well, God's in control. Whoever is now the new president, we will pray for and hope and pray, and we need to stand as the church. And God forgive me for this one. I'm willfully sinning, but blah, 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 blah. God help us all. 888-528-2557. We've got one line open. I think, I haven't checked to see if we have all 6 lines working. Last Friday we had 4. We got 4 filled now. We'll check. If you're getting a busy signal, you're also welcome to email me at either franksontag@kkla.com or franksontag@kprz.com as well. I know we've got a spot here, but if you can do a can one, I don't have my copy, and I want to collect myself. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. So on the break, I just checked. Our phone lines are not completely working, so the normal amount of lines we have open are somewhat limited. So what I'm going to attempt to do, I want to take calls, and I'll probably recycle through the calls somewhat quickly because I'm getting a lot of emails, people wanting to share, can't get through kind of scenario. So let me go to the phones, and I'll keep giving out the numbers. If you're emailing me and you want to get on the air, keep calling. Be somewhat insistent on that, and we'll have open lines. Okay, I guess we'll start from the top on down. No, that's not true. I just prayed, and I want to go to line 3 first. Paul in Los Angeles, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, how's it going, Frank?
Okay.
God bless you. God bless you for sending this message out. But what I disagree with about what you said is we need to speak out. Not totally. I don't disagree like that. Where I think that's true. The problem is the liberal media owns 80% of the stations that are out there. 90% of the populace looks and watches liberal media. So talking about it is just not good enough. Speaking out about it is just never going to be good enough.
Why? Because we have to reach the masses, or somehow we have to do it through a media outlet? I'm confused by your position.
No, we have to do exactly. I saw a program last night about Lincoln, and when the North was getting a black slave, when they were capturing a black soldier, they immediately executed him. Immediately. And even though Lincoln did not want to get and do the same thing. But what he did do in order to stop them from doing that is that whenever captives they had, every time they executed a black soldier, Lincoln would have one of the prisoners executed. It got to, I can't remember his name, but the Confederate who was ever running the Confederacy at the time, I don't remember his name. But he found out about it. And so what he started to do...
Before you go on, please help me understand, and this is obviously, I'm the deficient one here. You may be making your point very clearly, but I'm a little undone right now. Please help me understand what this has to do with what you originally said.
In droves, physically out there protesting, just like they did.
Okay. I'm not going to say no to that. I definitely think that's part of it. I've been praying about the word mobilize. Here, try and thank you, Paul. And I always, when I am done with a call, I put them back on hold. Sometimes you accuse me of hanging up on you. I never do that. I always, when I put you on hold, I trust that you will hang up on yourself. You'll disconnect on your own. But because of today, we're so limited in call space, I want to clear that line. Okay? So we do have one line open now, 888-528-2557. Let me take Jerry and Camarillo, and then I'm going to share something I got last night just to share with you about, and again, previous caller talking about reaching people. This text I got is very thought-provoking, and I want to read it to you in a moment. Jerry and Camarillo. Jerry, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Let me read you a couple of scriptures that I think the scriptures themselves will explain where I'm coming from. In the second book of Ezra, it says, "For he controls the ages and what happens in them." That's God. The book of Matthew just says, For only a penny you can buy two sparrows, but yet not one sparrow falls to the ground without the Father's consent. Mm-hmm. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "We may make our plans, but God has the last word." If you rely upon God, see, when Jesus was crucified, the Pharisees and all the Sadducees and all the people who were against Jesus thought this was the end. And even the apostles thought the same thing, but it was just the beginning. God, when he operates, he doesn't operate under our rules and regulations. He operates under what he knows is best for us. Now, there's a possibility, and I think this is what's going to happen. The best way to get rid of the Democrats is to prove fraud. We all know that all the meetings Trump had with all the people that attended all these various rallies, it's inconceivably not possible for him to go down like he went down.
Okay, let me respond to that because I don't want to get too much into that. You went from scripture and truth about God and the way God is God, and then you kind of did a left into this is the way we get rid of the Democrats, and I just don't want to go there. But I respect your call. I thank you for it. And you're right. I speak out against any lies of the enemy that says of what is to come is going to be horrible. Now, look, I appreciated what I heard yesterday. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Let's not be naive here. But who do we follow? Do we not love the king of the universe? Do we not, as Pastor Tony Evans once said, do we not believe the Bible is true? And so, therefore, how do we live our lives? But I know the evil one would have nothing more than to get us afraid or depressed or there's no hope here. This is lies. That's what he does. He's the father of lies. And we say no by the blood of Christ. We have the authority by the blood of Jesus to rebuke such lies. And I know that for me, part of this and where I'm a bit distressed, I just got a message from a guy I haven't heard from in 50 years. I went to high school with him. I did a Facebook Live over the weekend, and he's like, "Are you okay? I haven't talked to you in 50 years, but you seem distressed in the video, and I'm here if you need a couple of ears, right? I am distressed, but I know part of that is God calling me to get deeper in Him. Because if we're obedient to Him, if we love Him above all, He'll take care of business. It's not our responsibility to save the world necessarily. Maybe it's our responsibility to help save one person. But let's not get overwhelmed by the likelihood of what we're being told. How about this for a thought? The world needs to welcome our game changers, the people society has left out, the ones we fear, the ones we avoid. They've been sitting in the corners, waiting in the wings, begging for opportunity to be heard, to be included, to just be. We've been programmed to believe they have nothing to offer, but if you really think about it, they have the most to offer, especially in trying times. They're the ones who have survived the most, yet we rarely consider what they handle every single day and what they've learned because of it. We need to open our minds and turn to those who know best how to adapt and adjust and overcome simply because they've been overcoming all of their lives. And then my friend who sent me this said, I'm talking about society's greatest problem solvers, the rejects, the misfits, the outcasts, the courageous, the resilient. And I say amen to that. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. If you're just tuning in, we hope and pray that you are well, and that if you are strongly compelled, I would ask that you go to our podcast section after the program and listen to the 3 o'clock impact segment, by which I shared an extensive monologue on the state of things and who we are as followers of Christ and how we are to live our lives right now. We've got a number of people on hold that want to share some of their thoughts. We are not accessing our usual amount of phones. So for those of you that are emailing me, trying to get through, be patient. I'll try to go through some calls here. I only took two last break. We've only got 4 lines today. Phones are not working as they usually are. So you can email me, too, if you want to share something. April in Burbank. April, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for taking my call. I am very passionate about this subject. I used to do pro-life public speaking to raise money to save babies from abortion. And a couple of statistics I want to share with everyone for awareness and to know what we are to do as the body of Christ. One is only 10%, 1 in 10 churches are even speak about abortion. The other 90% are completely silent. And so it is up to us. Another one is 1 in 3 women, even in a church congregation, has already had an abortion, and many of them are more than one. And that is one of the reasons why pastors are afraid to talk about it, because they're afraid of alienating a third of the women in their congregation. And it doesn't matter the congregation. It can be any congregation. And another statistic is 4 out of 5 women who get an ultrasound and see their baby will not go through, even if they are abortion-minded, will not go through with an abortion. So what this means, it means a couple of things. Number one, there's a lot of organizations that will give women free ultrasounds to be able to see her baby, and then it's the baby that is changing the mom's mind. Another one is, it is important for us in church, a lot of the women who are Christians and still get abortions are because they are afraid of what their church family will think.
Yep.
You know, they're afraid of being shunned. And so it's important that we are very vocal that it is wrong, but also that if they know anyone, always say that if they know anyone, never say if it's you, then that there are resources for them and that we will support them and help them.
Yeah, that's very well said. April, I know you have more you would like to convey, but I want to try to get through as many calls as I can because the access to the calls are a little limiting today. Thank you for your call, as always. It's always good to hear from you. Lauren in Seal Beach. Lauren, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
I just want to say, I speak first to the church, and then I want to speak first to the pregnant girl. I was an unwed mother, and my parents took care of me and took me in. But the stigma was horrible. I wanted to commit suicide. Yep. Back in the day. Yep. I was treated terribly. And I just want to say that more love. We stand on the outside of the abortion clinics. More love. I have a T-shirt in the front that says, I want to give you an air hug. Number two on the back, I say, let's pray. God loves you so much. They love it. And we say to the girls, we're here. I know you just came in for whatever. You didn't come in for abortion, but there are options down the street. There's a pregnancy help center. We should flip signs just like they do advertisers and say, go here instead. This is one of my big ideas is the adoption option. The adoption option is almost impossible for the money. We should have our own organizations to adopt the children. It'll be quicker. It'll be less expensive. And the girls can have that. Number two, the church should have a little house, or they should invest in a place where a girl can stay for the 9 months to get a job so she doesn't have to be ridiculed. She has a place where they have home mothers. They have options for even adoption right there.
Well, I appreciate your potential solutions. And very quickly, again, please accept my apology. I need to move through calls somewhat quickly here. You had mentioned about being a pro-life activist. I thank you for doing that. And then you addressed the church. And I'm not here to tell anyone how to run their church. I'm just in a rhetorical sense asking, why do we not speak out against this atrocity? And I think April said it in part because people in the congregation have had abortions. And obviously not every church would have a recovery, abortion recovery ministry. But I don't think not speaking on a subject for fear of alienating someone is the best reason to not address something. And maybe part of the motivation is to, and I know many churches have many different types of ministries, they're overwhelmed, I get all that, but I just hope and pray that more leaders in the church will speak out on this and then act in kind to help the healing process. Let's see, I've got 2 minutes. Thomas in Glendale, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Mr. Sontag. It's a pleasure to speak to you finally.
Thank you. We've literally got 2 minutes. They're all yours.
I just want to make a point that we shouldn't be so focused on this presidential election because God has given us a gift finally, and that's a Republican majority Supreme Court, which is a lot harder to accomplish than a Republican president. A perfect metaphor would be if you give a child a president, they're more obsessed with the box than with the president. Donald Trump was like the box that the president came in. And now, whether it's 4 years later or 8 years later, we have to get rid of the box, but we still keep the Supreme Court. And that's the hardest thing to flip. In another 2 years, 4 years, we could gain more seats in the House. We could win back the presidential. We could win back the White House. Then we could have the Senate. We could have the White House. We could have the House of Representatives. And most importantly, we could have the Supreme Court, which is the hardest thing to do. So whenever God gives us a blessing, he always tests us immediately after, whether it was Jesus, after he was baptized, he was sent up into the mountains where he was tempted by God. When Moses led the Jews out of Egypt, God tested him immediately in the desert. So now God has blessed us with a Republican Supreme Court, and now he's testing us with a Democratic president. So whether this election is rigged or not, we shouldn't lose faith in our system, in our God. We should keep our faith, and eventually everything will work out, I hope.
Well, everything will work out, I hope. Thomas, thank you for your perspective. The one thing I will just quickly respond with is we do not have a Democratic president yet. The media would like to tell us, and he acts like he is, and in all honesty, the logic would say that he is. But let's acknowledge the Constitution, let's go through the courts, and we will see where we end up. 888-528-2557. This is the Frank Sontag Show.